bust on over to fanexchange.com for a safe, easy, and reliable experience. A great experience. Tickets purchased on Fan Exchange are always guaranteed. There's no getting to the gate and then worrying about getting in. Fan Exchange gets you closer to the action. Find the very best seats at the best prices at fanexchange.com. Use the promo code ROME. Again, promo code ROME and get 50% off the service fees on your next purchase. Fan Exchange, we have tickets.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brett Napier on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you from the Quicken Loans studios. It's the Jim Rome Show, mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. Well, I have been talking a lot about Eric Burns because what he is doing currently deserves so many pats on the back. I am so pumped up to have him on the program, former MLB player. You see him on MLB Network, and right now he is somewhere across our great country. It's the Try Across America. I encourage everyone to go to letthemplayfoundation.org. Burnsy, how are you, man?
Hey, Grant, all good, man. It's been a wild 11, 12 days here. But, yeah, you're right. I'm sitting here on the corner of the Wyoming 430 and CR26, basically where dirt was just intersected with, like, I don't know, I guess you would call it a two-lane highway. So it's been a
Are we losing Burnsy? All right, we'll try to reconnect. We're gonna give this the good old college try, all right? Because it's gonna come in and out. But this is such an amazing story, clones. What Eric Burns is doing, it's such an amazing thing as he is raising money because 97% of schools have cut everyday physical education, obesity among our youth. At a rate that is three times what it was just a decade ago. He's talking about 70% of our kids do zero physical activity after school, all right? Now think about that for a minute. After school, 70% of our kids do nothing, all right, about youth activity. And Eric Burns is out. And all right, Burnsy, we got you back, man. Burnsy, let's get right. We know where you are. You're in Wyoming. For the folks that have not been following me, tell everyone what you're doing, Burnsy.
Well, basically, a few months ago, my wife and I started a foundation called the Let Them Play Foundation. And to give you some numbers that are pretty astonishing, 97% of schools now no longer have everyday physical education. 70% of kids do zero after-school youth activity programs. Kids are spending 7 hours a day now in front of screens. Obesity rates are triple what they were in the 1980s when it comes to children. So as far as, my wife and I were concerned, we wanted to try to do something about it. And our way of doing it was, you know what, let's do this journey across the country. And in doing so, use my baseball connections and stop at ballparks along the way and hand out grants to youth activity organizations. So organizations committed to getting kids outside, getting kids playing. For example, we're just in Salt Lake City. We handed out a grant to the thing called Tennis and Tutors, which basically they take kids who are not in after-school youth activity programs. They teach them tennis. They put them through a tutor system as well. So it's not only, you know, physical, but it's educational. And the other one we handed out was one to the RBI program in Salt Lake City, which in conjunction with Major League Baseball. So which we bought bats and uniforms for next year. So it's been awesome, Grant, just to be able to see the reception. I know a lot of people, they'll donate money to a place, and they're like, oh, hey, where exactly did it go? And I've always felt that way. And, now just being able to see the money actually go to work and, you know, on this journey, it's been pretty awesome.
Make sure you follow Eric Burns on Twitter if you don't already, at Burns, B-Y-R-N-E-S 22, at Burns 22, because you can follow. They put up a daily capsule of everything they're doing. All right, Burnsy, take me back. I could not believe what I saw when I saw you jump into McCovey Cove and start a 7-mile swim across shark-infested waters and currents. I mean, what on earth was that swim like, Burnsy?
Well, it was interesting. Now, you know, I'd done the Alcatraz swim a couple of times, so I'd swam in the bay. obviously, that's not a 7 mile swim. The Alcatraz swim is actually like a mile and a half. So, I'd been in there before, Grant. But here's the thing, man. Like, there's no way to prepare for something like that. And I just say, well, all of a sudden, you know, you bring into effect that like the ships, those were probably one of the most astonishing things to me of anything, because the water. You can't really see anything, right? And the waters kind of look green to me the whole time. But when you're passing these gigantic ships through the course of the middle of the bay, and then the biggest thing with it was just trying to time the tides right. You know, we got in, I think, just after a max flood. But by the time I was getting out of the water, it was an ebb tide, right? So it was essentially going back out towards the ocean. But the thing was, which we did capture, there's a documentary film crew following me around on this, and they had a drone out just as we were getting towards Alameda. And I had heard from a buddy of mine who, as part of the night train swimmers, is a pretty gnarly swim group up in San Francisco that they do a bunch of open water stuff. And he was saying, he's like, hey, man, he's like, look out for Whitey out there. He goes, there's been 3 sightings just recently along the Oakland side of the bay. Well, when I'm coming in, like, I was no more than, like, 500 yards from the shore of Alameda where we landed, and the drone was above me, and I could hear the drone, and I had 2 kayaks on either side. I looked to my right, kayak still there, looked to my left, kayak still there, and all of a sudden, there was this huge shadow that went underneath me, and I'm like, dude, what is that? And I quickly kind of put my head up, and I put my head back down, and was dark, and you saw it kind of pass away. And when I got to shore, again, still didn't think anything of it. The next day, Sydney, who had captured the drone footage, sent it to me. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And what it was, what it looked like to me and just about everyone seeing it, is about a 6 to 8 foot juvenile great white shark that swam right underneath me.
Oh,
so,
my.
that was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's one of those things, though. I mean, I grew up surfing in Northern California waters. You try not to think about that. You're obviously entering their territory. You're taking a risk each time. But yeah, that sort of kicked off what's been a pretty epic adventure so far.
Well, and now you are on your bike. You're going to ride to Chicago, and when you get to Chicago, you're going to start a run to New York. How difficult are some of these segments that you're doing on the bike? Because I've been following you on Twitter, and the elevation, and you're at times going 140 to 150 miles a day. I mean, how hard is that for you, Bernsie?
It's tough, man. Like, here's the thing. Like, I never, again, like for those who are listening to this show, that probably last time they heard me, I was playing for the Diamondbacks, right? So understand this. When I got done playing baseball, I got into endurance sports. That's sort of where the transition came. I got into quickly somehow got into doing Ironmans. I've done 11 Ironmans. I did the Western States 100. Really got into trail running and whatnot. And so that's kind of where this whole big, you know, mission and transition came from. But even with that, I had never ridden probably more than 300. Maybe 400 miles in a week, and I doubt that. I mean, you think about that, that's 200-mile rides plus a couple more. I mean, that's just a lot of riding, right? And the first, I think it was 8 days of our adventure, we'd gone, actually, let's just call it 10. We've gone over 1,000 miles so far. So we're averaging over 100 miles a day. It's been gnarly, man. I mean, it's just, I think the way to look at it, though, is just like anything else in life, the only way to get through it is sort of one foot in front of the other. And obviously, in this case, it's one pedal stroke in front of the other. And you just get up and do it. And I think one of the things that has taught me in the early going is that, you know, we so often try to put these limits on ourselves of what we're capable of. And, you know, if you had asked me before this, if I thought I was prepared to ride, you know, 700-800 miles a week, I'd tell you, it did no chance, right? But, you know, so then, you know, I think the whole thing and probably the scariest part of all of it was just the mystery of what lied ahead. And still even now, I mean, we've encountered, like right now, I'm sitting here standing on this dirt road. The winds are whipping up. Thankfully, it feels like it's going to be at my back right now. But it's like all these little different stretches, I had to go out and get a cross bike. Yesterday, we go and we split two thunderstorms, one on the right, one on the left. I really didn't have a choice. And lightning on either side. and we were just hightailing it with like mud flapping everywhere. But I'll tell you this, and I have a lot of respect for people who have done this right across America without any support. I mean, all the respect in the world, because I don't know what I would do without the support and being able to change bikes. I mean, I'll go from the road bike to the tri bike back to a cross bike now, which we had to add to the arsenal, just being that there's so many dirt roads out there. But, you know, ideally we're able to continue on and obviously get into Chicago and transition onto the run. And, you know, the biggest thing is just not to lose sight of obviously what the mission is about. And it's about doing everything we can in our power to get the kids back outside and get the kids playing.
Bernsie, as you were just talking to me, I just went on to your website, letthemplayfoundation.org, and I just donated $100. And I'm really encouraging the clones to donate what you can, because I think, Bernsie, this is so phenomenal. And you know, listen, I speak to a lot of kids in schools in the Sacramento area, and I go home and I tell my wife, I go, you know, the one thing that really bothers me is the amount of obese kids that I see that are in first grade, third grade, sixth grade, eighth grade. And I just applaud the heck out of you, Eric. I really do. What you're doing, I think, is just phenomenal. You're putting your efforts for what a great cause is. And again, I really encourage people. It's very simple. It took me, well, I did the donation while Eric was answering that last question. Letthemplayfoundation.org. So, Bernsie, as we let you go, what's the rest of the day like for you? How far are you going to go today?
We have between 100 and 131 today. We're going to decide kind of once I get to that 100 mark how far I want to go past the 100. But just real quick, man, yeah. I just want to say that here's the thing. I grew up full-blown ADHD, so it's not just the physical benefits of exercise, and it has nothing to do with fat shaming or anything else, right? The whole thing is it's about physical activity and what it does for these kids mentally. And I know what it did for me mentally. Basically, I was a kid that they tried to kick out of school, that they tried to put in some school for delinquent children. And the whole thing is that I was locked in the same classroom for 8 hours a day, you know, with limited activity. And all of a sudden they start doing these tests and figuring out, they're like, man, I had a full-blown IQ tested terribly, right? They come back, give it to me again after an hour of exercise, and I scored in the 98th percentile of all 9-year-olds.
Wow.
So I want to give every kid the opportunity, that same opportunity. And right now, when we're taking away recess, we're taking away PE, man, you're not giving these kids an opportunity to reach their full potential. So, I mean, that's really the premise of the foundation. It's a physical exercise that these kids need in order to protect, to meet their psychological potential and live a productive life.
And Bernsie, if everything goes well, when do you expect to run into Yankee Stadium?
September 15th. But again, that's kind of what's gotten us to this point. You know, at first it was the swim and just focusing on that. And then, you know, right after the swim, we got on our bikes. We went to, we rode to Stockton and we held an event there. And
yeah.
Then it was Sacramento and then Lake Tahoe. And again, just, you know, being able to hold these events, and they're making a difference, and it's been super cool.
Bernsie, I will tell you, I am going to be at the Yankee Blue Jays game on the 14th of September and the 15th of September. I've already got it planned. I didn't even know that was the date. I am hoping that I am at Yankee Stadium on September 15th and see Eric Burns run onto the field. I want to be a part of that, buddy. I hope you stay on schedule. I wish you nothing but the best. I encourage everyone to check out letthemplayfoundation.org, or you can follow Bernsie on Twitter at Burns22. Stay safe. Congratulations. Major props to you, Bernsie. Major props.
Grant, you're the man, dude. Hey, listen, I want you running the last like 13, 14 miles in with me from I think I'm going to go from MLB Network to Yankee Stadium.
All right, man.
So you can join me for a part of that along the way.
All right. Maybe not 13 miles. How about a couple miles, all right? I don't know if I could. Bernsie, I don't know, man.
All right, I'll start
training. All right. Take care, man.
I'll save the last two for you, dude.
All right. You're the best. Be safe. Take care. Man, how awesome is that? Seriously. And I'm not kidding you. I just donated $100, and it was so easy to do. I'm so pumped up for Eric Burns, because this guy has such passion for life and physical fitness. And I'm not kidding you. I'm in New York that week for NBA broadcast meetings. And I'm already planning on being at the Yankee game on the 14th and the 15th. And I, you know what? I may just do that. And I really mean that. I may run the last couple miles with Burnsy. Like, how cool would that be? Like, you know what? That's, I'm giving me chills, man. I can't even imagine doing that. That would be phenomenal. All right. We got so much more to come. We're going to have an open segment when we come back. So, clones, get on at 800-636-8686 right here on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Hey, there's something to be said from being the best. You know, you've outrun, outpaced, and outsmarted the competition. Elite athletes know you can't be the best until you've beaten the best. Hey, if you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong and stay strong like Castrol Edge. It's the strongest full synthetic motor oil, engineered with fluid titanium technology to reduce power, robbing friction, and to maximize engine performance. Hey, did you know that friction can rob 10% of performance from your engine? Imagine being lined up across the ball from someone who's at 100% when you're at 90. Advantage? Other guy. Castrol Edge is strong under pressure, reducing friction so your engine can perform at its highest level. It's not only strong, it's 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown, as tested in the Kurt Orban test. That's the strength your engine needs to perform at its highest level and keep you living on the edge. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Man, I'm so pumped about Burnsy. I got to start running. I do work out, but I don't run out outside. I run on the treadmill, and I got to get my wife. She runs like 40, 50 miles a week. I got to start running with her. 13 miles, though. You know what? I don't know. How about 5 miles, Burnsy? How about if I join you for the final five? I could do 5 miles. I'm not saying I could do it easily. The problem is, if I do 5 miles, let's just say that I go out and I meet Burnsy, and I'm going to do 5 miles. I'm going to have to start like 45 minutes running towards Yankee Stadium before Burnsy gets to that point. Because if I run 5 miles with Burnsy, you know, he's going to get to Yankee Stadium. Let's say he runs into the stadium. It's the third inning. By the time I get there, you know, they're going to Chapman to close the game in the ninth. Like, I'm not going to be able to keep up with Burnsy. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. God, I love that. I'm such a fan of his. I think what he's doing is incredible. All right, clones, 800-636-8686. We get to Anthony from San Diego. Anthony, you're on the Jim Rome Show. Go ahead. Anthony. All right, Anthony. Yes.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead, man. All right, we got to get rid of Anthony. We'll get him back. John in Green Bay, we'll go to you next. John, you're on with Grant Napier on the Jim Rome Show. What's up, John?
Okay. I have a great story about this. I was in the taproom pizza parlor, and the father and son was sitting there, and I knew he had some kind of disability, but I don't judge people. And when they were leaving, his father said, "You can go home and watch video games tonight because it's men's night out." Well, I thought that was very peculiar and odd. You know, that's not the message we should send to the children. And I won two Trek bikes years ago, and I haven't been on them. I'm overweight. Everything, you know, my doctor says you need to exercise. Because of this interview, I will definitely tomorrow take that bike out and start riding it. It was wonderful. That interview was wonderful.
John, that's awesome, man. I mean, and thank you so much for the call. How cool is that Burnsy is inspiring a guy that's overweight, that hasn't been on his bike, to get out and start exercising? That's great, John in Green Bay. And John, I'm also very happy for you that it's August and I'm not doing this show in January, because I doubt very much that you would be calling me up and telling me that tomorrow you're going to start riding your bike in Green Bay. Can you ride your bike in Green Bay like in January? You know, I'll tell you what you should do, John, and I really mean this. You know, and I'm sure they still do this. Maybe our great fans in the Green Bay, Wisconsin area. And hey, Jim's in, as he calls it, Wisco now, isn't he? Maybe Jim will be doing this. You know, you get on a bike and you ride the players on your bike to and from practice. That's been a big tradition in Green Bay for the Packer fans. So now that would be like, could that be a better show than to have Bernsie? And we're trying to get the video for the folks that are watching on CBS Sports Network. We're trying to get the video from the drone of the image of the shark off the waters of Alameda. But, like, could you imagine seeing video of Jim and his two boys on their bikes helping the Packers get to and from practice? See, now that would be epic, right? Would that be unbelievable? Now that would be an all-time show, all right? The video of Bernsie with a great white under him, and then Jim and his family on the bikes taking the Packers to and from practice. All right, 800-636-8686. Don't forget, coming up in hour number three, we're going to talk some football. Herm Edwards, the head coach of Arizona State, he's going to join me at the top of hour number three. And then after him, one of my favorites, Charles Davis, one of the real, not only very, very talented, but just a great guy. So we're going to talk some football. And speaking of football, we do have football tonight. Yeah, I know it's the Hall of Fame game. I don't care. Just give me football, would you please? Because when I see just real football, then it's right there. It's right around the corner. And it's the Bears and the Ravens tonight. And I've always said this about preseason football. And I started watching the NFL when you had six preseason games. So if you think four is long, imagine a preseason schedule of six games. There's only two things that matter in preseason. Number one, how do your rookies look? And number two, did you have any injuries? That's it. Nothing else matters. I don't care how teams look in the preseason. I really don't. You know, I'm online like a lot of people, and I'm on Twitter, and I read reports of this guy looked good in practice, that guy looked good in practice, and this guy. Yeah, I don't even pay attention to that stuff. I don't care who looks good in practice, okay? I really don't. What I care about in preseason, no injuries, and then when the games come, how do the rookies look in the games? I don't care how players look in practice. I never have. I've been on so many sidelines covering the NFL for years and years and years. And I like watching practice. Don't get me wrong. I like to see the way different teams do it. And I enjoy watching NFL practices. It's really neat. It's really regimented. I mean, they don't waste any time. They go from station to station. And everything is just really brisk. And I love that. But I read, this guy looked really good in practice, and wow, this guy had an interception. Well, that guy made a 45-yard touchdown catch. Who cares? Doesn't matter. All right? No injuries. I mean, if you're a fan of the Chargers, look at all the injuries they've had already. I mean, it's unbelievable. You lose your tight end from back in May. You lose your defensive back for the year. You know, you're in Green Bay. You lose a linebacker for the year. You guys are going down left and right. And we haven't even had a game yet. So if you're... You know, your team, what are you judging it on? No injuries. No significant injuries. If you can get through training camp without significant injuries, it was a really good preseason. And there's just, and I don't understand why every year, and I really mean this, every year it seems we are seeing more and more non-contact injuries in football. I mean, ACLs, Achilles. I mean, again, I keep on going back to Teddy Bridgewater, you know, 2 years ago. Just taking a snap from center and pivoting and, you know, blowing out his knee. And we're seeing this all too often now. And I keep on asking, why is that? You know, I've talked to a lot of former players, you know, when they had their training camps and they hit every day. And, you know, now it's like, you know, a cupcake city at these practice fields during training camp. Everything is scheduled. Well, you can't put the pads on more than this. You can't have contact on this day. You're only allowed to do it X number of hours. And, you know, we talk about this all the time. I'm going to talk about this with Herm Edwards coming up at 11 o'clock, the third hour, 11 o'clock Pacific and 2 o'clock Eastern. Because, you know, when Herm played... Do you know that Herm Edwards never missed a practice in his NFL career? Forget about games. He lined up every week, every Sunday. Never missed a practice. And they hit every day. And now, I mean, it's a whole... Go to any NFL practice now at training camp. And compared to when I first started going to practices, I mean, it really is night and day. It is night and day. All right, when we return third hour of hour number two, we're going to take your phone calls at 800- 636-8686. So, clones, we have an open segment. And then, of course, following that, we'll have a couple of guests back-to-back. Herm Edwards and Charles Davis to start us off in hour number three. Right now, though.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brett Napier on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, clones, Barbasol razors. After 100 years of making shaving cream, Barbasol is finally making razors. Well, that was a no-brainer. Try the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with six ultra-thin blades. Save now at Barbasol.com. Well, for those of us, or those of you that are watching us on CBS Sports Network, I am now going to show you the video that Eric Burns was talking about. And again, from a drone footage, there's Burnsy in the middle of the two kayaks. And then you can see the shadow underneath of Burnsy. And incredible to look at the shadow between the two kayaks going right underneath Burnsy. Wow. Man, oh man, are you kidding me? That's unbelievable. Yeah, for those of you that are watching on CBS Sports Network. Well, you know what? He made it. Thank goodness Eric Burns made it, and now he is on a bike. Speaking of bikes, all right? Hey, Grant, we ride fat tire bikes in the winter with tons of layers. Water bottles freeze, though. That's from Dan, Wisconsin. Wisco, isn't that what Jim called it last week? He's on his way to Wisco with his family. Good for him. Someone wants to talk about Phil and Tiger. Wait, what? We have to play 18 holes for $10 million on Thanksgiving? Get John Madden to sponsor the event because I'm going to want me one of those six-legged birds. Hey, at Grant Napier Show, are you nuts? Tiger Phil will be the highest-rated golf event ever. I don't think so. I disagree with you. We'll find out, though. All right, so 10 players, all right? 10 players with torn ACLs already this season. How about that? 10. That's unbelievable. It really is incredible that 10 players already are done for the year with ACLs. I don't get it. I really, it's just, we haven't even had a game yet. All right, something I was debating on my show in Sacramento. And it's we always like to talk about the quarterback position. And I asked this question, and I want to get your take at 800-636-8686. Who's the best quarterback in the NFC West? All right, the Cardinals are at the bottom, all right? All right, Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo, Russell Wilson. Now, this conversation cannot be on what you think they're going to do this year. It's based on what we already know. And I said that I have to put Russell Wilson one. And then we debated Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo was such a small sample size. And Jared Goff in his second year, I mean, it was very, very impressive. So I put Russell Wilson one. I put Garoppolo two based on how well he played and what I saw from him on a small sample size. I put Jared Goff three and then whoever's going to play quarterback for the Cardinals four. I also said at the end of this year, do not be surprised if either Garoppolo or Goff, you would put at number one and then go down from there. And then we had the same conversation in the AFC West. And we talked about the changing of quarterbacks in that division. And you talk about Case Keenum. And I said, you know what? I love Case Keenum because of what he did last year. People laugh. They go, Case, hey, did you watch the Minnesota Vikings play last year? Did you watch how well Case Keenum played and said, well, he had a great defense? I get you. That does not change how he played on offense. All right, then you have the new quarterback with Kansas City, a guy that's only in his second year, Patrick Mahomes. Alex Smith's now in Washington. You got Phillip Rivers with the Chargers and Derek Carr with the Raiders. So we debated this back and forth, and I want to get your take again at 800-636-8686 because to me, you got to put the Chiefs now at the bottom because we only have one game to go by Patrick Mahomes. You can't put him ahead of Case Keenum. You can't put him ahead of Phillip Rivers. And you can't put him ahead of Derek Carr, right? All right, so we got the Chiefs fourth. I got Phillip Rivers 1. Anybody argue with that? Is anybody not taking Phillip Rivers as the best quarterback in the AFC West? So then it comes down to this, and we debated this on my show in Sacramento. Derek Carr, Case Keenum. Who would you put as the second best quarterback right now in the AFC West? And people would say, oh, it's got to be Derek Carr. It's got to be Derek Carr. And I'm like, well, did you watch Case Keenum play last year with the Minnesota Vikings? And again, this is not how you think it's going to turn out this year. This is based on what we already know. I personally think Derek Carr is overrated. I really do. I think Derek Carr is good. I don't think he's anything above good. I'm not saying that he can't become very good to an upper echelon quarterback, but he's not there yet. I look at Case Keenum and what he did last year. Very good with the ball. You know, he had 22 touchdowns. He had 7 interceptions, high completion percentage. All right, in terms of the big games, all right, second in the NFL in completion percentage last year in the National Football League. So I put Case Keenum as the second best quarterback in that division. And I got everybody calling me up going, oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about. How could you put Case Keenum above Derek Carr? I didn't like what I saw from Derek Carr last year. What did Derek Carr do last year that would impress you? And people say, well, gee, he was playing hurt. Well, he didn't say he was playing hurt. Was he playing hurt? All right, people say, well, John Gruden's not. Okay, but we're not talking about this coming year. We're talking about on what we know. So in the AFC West, and I'd love to know what you think at 800-636-8686. I've got Phillip Rivers 1. I got Case Keenum 2. I have Carr 3 and Mahomes 4. Now, we may have a whole different order. I don't think we'll have a different order with Phillip Rivers. I mean, Phillip Rivers is the best quarterback in the division. I don't think anybody would argue with that. If you do argue with that, I would love to know. We got time to talk here because we have Herm Edwards coming up, the head coach at Arizona State. We have Charles Davis following that. But people love to evaluate and place quarterbacks and what position you're going. And, you know, we debated in the NFC West. I have Russell Wilson as the best quarterback in that division based on what I know. What I think is going to happen, I think maybe we'll be talking about Jimmy Garoppolo as the best quarterback in that division after we see a full season of 16 games. I mean, the thing I love about Jimmy Garoppolo, now think about this. He took a team that had not won a football game, and he then takes over the controls of the 49ers. The same personnel, same running back, same receiver, same line, and doesn't lose a game. So you look at the quarterback play just there on that one illustration. He won all 5 of his games and had a very good 5 games. Now, is that a big enough sample size? Not to put him ahead of Russell Wilson. I can't do that. But I got to put him right behind Russell Wilson because I think, based on what I saw, boy, there was a lot to like. So give me your take on that. Again, we are talking AFC West, NFC West quarterbacks, 800-636-8686. Let's get to Dave in Colorado Springs and see what you have to say about that. Dave, you're on with Grant Napier on the Jim Rome Show. Go right ahead.
All right. I think you're off on Carr. Yeah, he was hurt last year. And yeah, he did play hurt. They didn't have much of another option. But why base this only on last year if you're going to start to put the quarterbacks in like you're doing, like Russell Wilson or Breeze? I mean, neither one of them were stellar in the divisions you just mentioned.
Yeah, I know. You could go back to Derek Carr 2 years ago. He had an outstanding year. All of his numbers, everything was very good. I'm not discounting that. I just do not like the way Derek Carr has played in big games, and I just don't like some of the reads that he's made in big games, and for that, I'm a little bit down on him. I'm not saying he can't get to the next level, but I've watched every game that he's played, and I think his decision-making at times in big games is a little alarming, and last year was the first year in his career that he had won a game against Kansas City, you know, their arch rival in that division. And if you remember, that was the Thursday night game in Oakland. It was the shootout, the miraculous.
They got like the biggest game of the year.
Yep, it was. But again, you know how that game unfolded, penalty after penalty after penalty, which kept on giving them another chance. And again, I'm not saying that doesn't count. It does count, but that was his first time that he beat Kansas City in 6 tries.
That doesn't make any sense. If the defense makes penalties, you got to take that away from the quarterback. That doesn't make any
sense. No, I'm not. I'm just saying what happened. I mean, that was the first time he won a game in six tries against Kansas City. I'm not saying it's all his fault. I'm just giving you the numbers. That's all. All right, so you tell me, who do you like in that division? Would you put Phillip Rivers one?
Yeah, barely. I just don't think.
Barely?
Yeah, he doesn't have the team around him to be stellar. There's no way.
So you think Phillip Rivers is barely ahead of Derek Carr? Come on now.
Yep.
All right. So you think that when it's all said and done, let's look into the future. All right, let's now change the equation around. You think at the end of this year the Raiders are going to do what with Derek Carr?
At the end of the year?
Yeah, coming up this year. Give me a forecast. What do you think for the Raiders and Derek Carr?
I think they're going to win the division, go to the playoffs.
All right, fair enough. Dave, I appreciate the feedback. Thanks very much. I don't think there's a little gap between Phillip Rivers and Carr. That's my opinion. I just don't. I think that Phillip Rivers is much better than Derek Carr. Much better. All right, let's get to San Diego. Bill, you're on with Grant Napier on the Jim Rome Show. Go ahead, Bill.
How you doing, Grant?
Bill, I'm well.
God love you. Listen, being from San Diego, yeah, Phillip Rivers, nice to hear him get some respect. He hasn't done very well in his big games lately, but this year could be different. And they've got the experience now. He's got the experience to go with a great roster. This could be the Chargers' year.
I think the Chargers are the best team in the division. I really do. I'm a little concerned with some of the injuries they've already had before they even hit the field, but I think that the Chargers are the team to beat in that division. I don't know yet about Denver. I got to see Case Keenum with this offense. I think Chubb and Von Miller on the same line defensively can be real dangerous for quarterbacks in the AFC West, but I think the Chargers right now are the best team in that division.
Derek Carr is a great quarterback. There's no question about it.
No, he's not a great quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback.
2 years ago, he was almost the best quarterback in the league.
Okay, he's okay. I would not classify him as a great quarterback, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Case Keenum was amazing last year in Minnesota. He's got to help Denver. They needed a quarterback. They got one. And Denver is going to be a force, no question, I think.
I agree.
Kansas City's an unknown quantity with Mahomes.
Yep. Thanks for the call. Think of with Kansas City, Mahomes is going to have some good games, but he's going to have some bad games. And I think that's going to cost them in that division. I don't see Kansas City as a playoff team this year. I just don't. Jim in Nashville, Tennessee. You're on the Jim Rome Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Grant. In the NFC, I think you're right on the Russell Wilson number one. I think the sample size for Garoppolo is a little too small. I would put Goff ahead of him.
Okay.
But in the NFC, I really think you're selling Derek Carr short. If you look last year and you take even half of the drops that Cooper had and put those as receptions, I mean, his numbers look a whole lot better.
That's fair enough. And, that's a very good point.
I think the addition of Jordy Nelson, I think will cause Cooper to grow up and become the receiver he has the potential to be. So I think a big year for Carr this year.
All right, thanks a lot. That's a great point. Amari Cooper had a lot of drops. So did Michael Crabtree, a very sure-handed receiver for the Raiders. He had some uncharacteristic drops last year. That's a very good point. He's right. Amari Cooper did have a lot of drops. You're exactly right. You know, we always talk about that. That's not factored into a quarterback. You know, I always think the touchdown-interception ratio is sometimes very misleading. I think quarterbacks that throw Hail Marys or have balls that are perfectly thrown that goes off a receiver's hands and are intercepted. We always talk about touchdown interception ratio, like that's the only thing that matters. I'd like to see kind of a stat in the NFL that's kind of like with pitchers in baseball, you know, with their earned run average. You know, there's two outs and there's a runner on third and there's a routine ground ball hit to second and it's an error and the run scores. That is not charged to the pitcher's earned run average. I'd like to see that in the NFL. I mean, there are a lot of times guys throw perfectly thrown footballs or Hail Marys at the end of halves or at the end of games that are picked off. And, you know, they show up as just very, very simple interceptions. And there are quarterbacks that, you know, there are some quarterbacks in the NFL that don't care about interceptions. You know, I'll tell you, Eli Manning doesn't care. Eli Manning does not care how many interceptions he throws at the end of games. He doesn't care if you're down by three touchdowns and you have the ball at the 40-yard line and there are 5 seconds left. He's going to try to make a play. And if the ball's intercepted, it's intercepted. And I'm not saying he doesn't make some bad throws, but I mean, Hail Marys, perfectly thrown balls that are deflected, that are intercepted. You know, we go, well, gee, you know, he had three interceptions in this game. And then, you know, there were very often all three interceptions. One was on a Hail Mary and two were on deflections. And we think that's a bad game for a quarterback. How's that a bad game for a quarterback? Quarterback made the right throws. His receivers didn't do the job. And that last caller, spot on. I got to give him credit. Amari Cooper couldn't catch cold last year. I mean, he was drop after drop after drop. So that's right. That did not help out Derek Carr. And Amari Cooper is he's got so much talent. He has the breakaway aspect, run after catch, everything else. He's an electrifying player. But you got to be able to catch the football. He had, what, seven touchdowns last year? How many drops did he have? I mean, he led the team in drops. It wasn't even close. All right, here's what we're going to do in hour number three. We're going to have Herm Edwards, the head coach of Arizona State. And then after Herm, yeah, we are going to talk with Charles Davis from Fox and the NFL Network. That's all coming up. 1 hour left right here. Grant Napier in the jungle, sitting in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio.